Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Hey, Uppersiders, and welcome back to the Lonely Boys podcast. My name is Matt. I am one of your titular Lonely Boys, and we are back after a long hiatus of 3 months. We are finally back. Our schedules have cleared up, and we are here. Well, me first, I guess. I haven't brought in my co-host yet. It's been a while. I can't remember how this intro goes, but I'll get it down. I'm back to, I know everyone was waiting on pins and needles to hear what we're going to say about the reboot series. But first, I noticed something on HBO Max that there was a little retrospective special, is what they're calling it, of the show. So I am here to do the retrospective of the retrospective. It's the Gossip Girl : retrospective special. Kind of a mouthful. I don't know. I don't know if they envisioned people ever
the
podcasting about
colon.
This.
The colon of Dan Humphrey.
The colon of Dan Humphrey. Gossip Girl, Dan's colon, retrospective special. And that voice, who you remember so well.
Iconic.
I'd like to introduce someone who also just wasted 31 minutes of his life watching this pointless special. It's Brendan Ruffle.
Is that short? Hello, I am your co-host, of course, the creepy uncle of podcasting, a.k.a. Uncle Cream. Hi, Diddly Huddle Cream Nation, recording live as always from the Creamatorium. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Cream Weekly, Dr. Officer Cream, reporting for duty. Cream, yes, Cream. A.K.A., of course, all creams are bastards. I'm your OGC, the original gangsta Cream.
Are you down with OGC?
Yeah, you know me. And Cream rules everything around me. Cream.
Right, we got that down.
You
at
had
least.
To miss that.
Yeah, everyone missed that. Let's say, how do I? Yeah, Barisars, welcome back to another episode of the Lonely Boys podcast. My name is Matt, and we're your titular Lonely Boys, and I'm here to break down another episode. I'm here to break down episode of the Gossip, but I'm not here by myself. I'm here with that. Okay, yeah, I think I got it. Doing it the next time, I think we got it. I think that should be good.
Sounds like something that you chant before bed every night in prayer.
I do, but it's, you know, we took some time off, so I stopped chanting it before
I mean, like, we were off air. We were talking about my recent going to funeral and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Not going to mention who it is. Yeah, you want to know.
For whoever it is.
For whoever. But no, I was begrudgingly at a church, and I didn't chime in for the Hail Marys, so I just did my intro to the podcast under my breath.
So would anyone like to say a few words? And you got up.
That was amazing. The whole crowd knew it. At least 75% of the crowd.
It's like, Cream, yes, Cream.
They livened up the joint.
So I guess besides that, let's not bury the lead. We're back. Everyone thought we wouldn't come back. We are back.
Did you get any texts or anything from people that like listen to the show or like, when the hell is this coming back? Is there any like regulars in the show, like our Seven Timers Club people? Are they like, what's going on? Are you guys okay?
I think we've gotten to the point where Mel got served is the only one who cares, I think.
So we have one Seven Timer Club member that is worried about us. Oh, I had to give you something, by the way.
Okay.
Milga that koozie. She told you? I thought it was going to be a surprise. I was going to pretend it, like it was my gift.
Well, because the thing is, it already seems like you weren't doing that right now. But I think you threatened her so much that she sent me, please let the record hold in case your koozie is held hostage, that I sent one for you in the envelope to Mr. and Mrs. Cream. Because it looks like you had sent her... Egan is not getting shit. These are all mine. Thank you, at Mel got served.
Wow.
I think she was worried that I wouldn't.
She didn't ever contact me directly about that message. She just went right to you. She was nervous.
She was nervous. She was shaking. She said, please don't banish me from the podcast. I meant to. It was supposed to get to you, I swear. But even though people may have forgotten about us, I think they'll be thrilled when this gets back in their feeds. If they have an unfollowed feed.
That's crazy. Well, I think unfollowing a feed is a little bit, like, insane.
Because what does it take out of you? Especially if we're not, because I have unfollowed feeds before, but that was the opposite thing. It was, like, something where I just, like, listened to a podcast or two, and then they were releasing, like, seven podcasts a day that I just had to delete every day. And we're like, okay, let's...
But nothing's being released. Like, you don't. I never get that far back in my library. Like, I don't. I can't believe I still follow this show. I don't ever really see it.
Right, and then on the off chance we do come
back,
holy
shit,
we did.
We're back.
So what's going on?
Good question. I'm glad to see your interviewing skills are sharp as ever.
Thank you.
Nothing. I mean, it's when we started podcasting again with like my other two shows, the Blitzball Boys and Hobby Boys. I took off pretty much the same amount of time with those shows as I did these. And then we started getting into it like in October. And I was talking to Peter about it and my other co-host Brian about it. And we were all like, it was so nice to have the summer off. This is great. Like, especially like summer nights, like the sun doesn't go down until 8 o'clock. And when you're like stuck in your little cave at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, and then the sun is like going down as you're still finishing out the episode.
Yeah.
And you miss like a beautiful summer night. You're like, oh man, what am I doing?
Miss sunset.
You miss sunset. I hate missing sunset for a podcast. It's the worst. It's podcaster's nightmare.
Podcaster's nightmare is what they call missing the sunset. Yeah.
But it was also nice to like have weeknights where I didn't have like responsibilities and homework essentially. So I think I missed it enough where I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time off, but I was away from it long enough where I wanted to come back.
Me, on the other hand, I had so much homework and so many assignments that.
Yeah.
That you know, that was one of the main reasons we couldn't do it. But right. I am, my Malloy courses are done.
Woo-hoo!
I got a 30 out of 30 on my final paper for my grammar class.
Gosh, that was supposed to, I swear that's supposed to be the
damn it,
supposed to be the claps. I don't know if the
claps 30 out of 30. 30 out of 30.
Okay, well now I'm not doing myself any more favors.
Come on. 30. That shows you how long it's been. Brendan doesn't know.
Really I don't know where the buttons are.
30. And even though it was supposed to, it was a minimum 1,500 words, maximum 2,500. And mine was a healthy 3,200 words and change, and they didn't take any points off. So.
Wow!
Yeah, I knew I was in trouble when I got through the introduction, and I was already at like 750 words. I was like, oh boy, this is. And then I didn't go back and delete anything because that's another step. That's like more work I have to do to figure out what.
And if you
deleted.
Go back and edit stuff, you're gonna like create new errors. I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. So I just said, you know what? If they take points off because I did too much work, then so be it. And then they didn't. So
wow, very good.
Looks like I'm getting some A's because I got full credit on everything except for one stupid fucking lesson plan. I got a 6 out of 7.
Oh,
and I didn't
God.
Even look at the comments because I didn't even want to know why. I don't even want to know what he had to say. My ENL course. I didn't like, listen, everything else was full credit. All the other lesson plans for you. I don't even want to know what you think I did wrong.
I don't want to know.
I'm a great student. You can.
You are a great student. I mean, I haven't really seen you. I haven't seen you since we went to Green Day in August. And then since then, it was the baby shower I went to recently. You were like deep in the weeds of school and working to pay for that school.
Yeah, well, the day of the baby shower was the day my final paper was due, so I was stressed, if you couldn't tell.
You
but
stressed. I'm surprised that guy didn't point out your grays in your hair that day.
Oh my God, I'm surprised too. I guess we were too busy pointing out all the sweat that was coming through from his pits for him to.
You got to deflect. You got to point something out about him first before he gets to you. That's the method.
What did was texting with
yeah, speaking of, with he was Guinness. One of the last episodes we did,
yeah, the finale, right?
Yeah.
oh yeah, no, it wasn't anything good. I just thought it was some good
okay, some group
where,
chat stuff.
I was complaining about the Yankees, and Ganesh just he really just let me see it through another light. He just replied, they'll be aight, hopefully. Well, yeah, all right, you know what?
So it took for you to come back around on them.
Okay. All right, you know what? And then he followed up with, hopefully, is best case scenario.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. But this is a time and place. Yankees struggling. They have not been struggling, and now they are. They're down 2 games to none. I knew that first game was very lost. We are the baseball boys right now.
We're the baseball boys. I mean, this is like, it is, we're in a place where the Yankees haven't been in the World Series since we were kind of like children. So
yeah,
it is very exciting.
Since we had a gun pulled out on us on Halloween.
And faithful listeners know that story, obviously. But it really is like it's a weird feeling. I've been baseball and New York sports have been hot in the streets for the whole month. So I felt
New York
the buzz.
Liberty.
I felt the buzz. And yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Mostly the Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the only championship in New York season.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Can't give up yet. Pete keeps telling me it's not over until you lose a game at home. And the Yankees have not done that
that's
yet.
That's
true.
So. But it's going to be one of those series where every single game at home is one, and then they lose in 7, I guess.
Oh, great. That's what it's perfect. They just need one. If they win every game at home, they just need one. They just need
they
one
just
on
need
the road.
One. They just need one.
That's what's been going on. Yankees, baby showers, school, work, not podcasting. Well, I guess, you know, let me ask you, has anything weird happened since in the 3 months since we podcasted?
Too much, man. Too much to recount. I should have thought about this because I knew this question was coming.
So long. You had so long to think
about
it.
But there's so many
things.
You should
have a whole diary.
A whole episode. We should have a whole episode now about what weird happened to
us. What's weird?
This episode should be about. Scrap the whatever that was.
We might as well scrap the premise of what the retrospective of the retrospective.
Weird.
If anyone's like, oh, they recapped the retrospective, maybe I should go back and watch it and then hop back in. No, skip that part. You don't need to go back and watch it. We have given you so much more insight than this 31-minute special will ever give you. It's
absolutely
not worth your time.
I really almost fell asleep. Like I said before, I can't believe it was 30 minutes. It felt like it was at least an hour long plus, maybe. And it was just really, really stupid. Otherwise, I have something, though. I have something. The world recently is trying to tell me and Nicole that we should be swingers. So we went on vacation to Key West, a place we haven't been in a few years. We used to go there yearly to Nicole's uncle's timeshare. And we would go with our whole family, like eight people total. And we wanted to go this year, just the two of us, and see how it was. We stayed somewhere different this time and just did our own thing and went off the beaten path from like the stuff we're used to doing with the whole family. One of the last days we went there, there was like this sunset cruise we went on, and it's just like live music is playing the whole time. It's really pretty. There's like drinks flowing the whole time, and it's just like a kind of drunken dance party on a boat, and it's very fun. We're leaving the boat and walking off, and then this older couple comes up to us and is like, "Are you guys newlyweds?" And I was like, sorta, but about a year. Like we're kind of celebrating like our 1 year anniversary." And like, close enough. Did we buy you a drink yet?" I'm like, well, no, like all the drinks of the year have been free. And they're like, all right, we got to buy you a drink. So like, we go to the nearest bar, like after we walk off the boat. And then we sit down with this couple who's probably in their mid to late 50s. And we hang out with them for like an hour and a half. And I would have felt bad if we had to swing, because I would have gotten the better end of the deal if I was doing anything with the woman and Nicole would have been stuck with the man.
You're such a compassionate swinger.
That's what I've been told. But it seems like they were trying to like get us drunker and like take us home with them, but I could be reading into it too much. I don't know.
Were there did they show you any pineapples or anything?
Is that a euphemism?
Well, the pineapple that's the sign of the
swinger.
There
were no pineapples, but like we are in like a tropical kind of place, so I'm sure there was one nearby. Would have been close enough. But no, we didn't end up swinging with them, but we said that when we were there for our 15th, because they said it was their 15th anniversary, and I was like, now when it's our 15th anniversary, we got to go to this, do the same thing we did today.
We have to
and buy
swing
a new couple.
A,
we got to find a new young couple to swing with and actually make it happen this time. They kind of botched it. We probably would have done it if they asked us to, but they weren't forceful enough.
Yeah, you got to be forceful.
You got to be forceful.
You got to be chucking pineapples left and
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah, as hard as you can.
Remember when McDermott said that he heard Ganesh and Vrunda were swingers, and Vrunda got and Vrunda does listen to this podcast.
Yes,
we don't have to worry about using us as enemies.
Vrunda
got so mad, that, very defensive.
Like, make you think that they are swingers because of how mad you
get. I don't know why.
Yeah. So we bumped into people on Friday that we like had just met. We were at Sidelines. I told you that I was going to go like to the bars in Lyndhurst to watch the game. We're at Sidelines for pretty much the whole game, and this older couple was talking to me, Nicole, and Tierney there for a while, and they're about the same age as the other swingers in Key West.
Okay.
And they were
so they must have known each other.
They must have known each other. Sparks are flying.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens.
You, Nicole, and Tierney, and this couple.
Yeah, so I think the problem last time was Tierney wasn't there with us, my sister.
My sister.
For the audience, of course.
Speaking of, something did recently come up in the famous group chat.
Good. We need group Rhonda chat to really carry this episode. We need some group chat lore.
You know, host of the baby shower that we went to over the weekend, Vrunda. Mm-hmm. You would assume she is pregnant, pretty pregnant. So right. where do you
pretty
you
and pregnant? Or pretty pregnant.
She is pretty and pregnant. Pretty and pregnant. The Vrunda story.
That'll be the next show we're watching, by the way. It's pretty and pregnant.
I'm sure there's something called that.
Something close to it.
Now she has recently gotten a parking ticket from the man. The man gave her a parking ticket.
Dean
and and she does not want to pay it. She doesn't think she should. Because her excuse, I think, is just she's pregnant and she didn't feel like She didn't feel like walking a far distance. Mm-hmm. So she parked illegally in a spot that wasn't a spot and got a ticket on the way back. And she thinks that she can, I guess, somehow fight it and go to, I guess, what would it be, like City Hall? And but she doesn't, the problem is she doesn't have a defense. Like, she doesn't.
Right.
You can't just say. I mean, she is pregnant, and
right.
You know, if you want to say that, you know, maybe you know, DeRosa brought up that pregnant women should get temporary handicap passes, okay. Which maybe solve some things. But
was she parked
out,
in a handicap spot?
I don't know. I think she was just parked on top of a stop sign,
another
like,
car.
On top of another car. I don't think you can you know go to court and be like, yeah, I
like check this out.
I don't want to walk over because pregnant. I'm pregnant, so. I guess I had a question, where do you fall? But I feel like there's no place to fall. Like,
no, I mean, I think that it's a funny thing to defend yourself for, because what are you going to do? Like, not pay? And it also, it seems like to me more work to go fight it than just like pay like the $50, whatever it is.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like time out of your day. It's annoying. I hate going to the DMV.
Right. Exactly. The Rose's stance was you can't fight the man. And I unfortunately had to agree. Yeah, I was like, it's just going to be so much easier if you just pay the whatever.
Exactly. That's definitely
$50 that it is. I guess something weird that's happened to me, and I don't know if weird is the right word, but I guess most recently, are you familiar with Snapchat?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
I've heard
one of those apps, one of those like social media.
In 2024, are you familiar with Snapchat?
I had it like 10 years ago,
right.
And I hated it. I hate pictures. I don't take and it's a very picture based. App. So I deleted it, but then, you know, I had some friends at work. They were like, "Oh, why don't you see my story? You gotta do a Star Trek." Like, okay,
I didn't know how much people still
use it. Yeah, people. It's like the app. People use. Or
I think
people
things
are snapping all over the place.
Yeah.
So I re-downloaded it, and because of that, like, I have a bunch of contacts in there. They're all from like 10 years ago, because that was like the last time I had
it.
And now it's just another thing. And this is what I deleted the first time. It's just another thing where I get these notifications and I have to go through them to get rid of the notifications.
Of them,
I don't look at everyone's story because I don't like the notification thing coming up. So I'm going through the story and, you know, on the topic of wakes, I guess. I guess I won't mention who it is. But she, you know, had a story and it was just like a coffin. And, you know, it was like, you know, very sad, like, you know, RIP mom, the only thing like that makes this better is knowing that you're not in pain anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a lot of text, right?
Right.
So I was reading it because now I'm in it. Now I want to know what's
now
going
on
here. Yeah, now I like Snapchat. You didn't tell me this. But, you know, the thing is, on Snapchat, if you're not familiar with it, it's like a timed thing. So after a while, it just automatically moves on to the next story. But there's a lot of text I wanted to read. I knew that if you kind of hold the screen, it like freezes and you can read everything.
Yeah.
So I knew that much. But then I don't know if I held too long or if I held it a certain way. But a bunch of what?
No, I was just worried about what's coming in the story. You know, I'm invested. It's
yeah,
like on my face.
My God. Yeah, you scared me. I thought something was behind me.
My head is at, I'm like worried that like you accidentally held it too long and like you hit like the ha-ha button or something.
Well, a bunch of reactions came up. And I guess it could have been worse.
Like, fire.
I accidentally pressed the question mark reaction.
Oh, no.
Which is kind of a crazy. So I'm like, scrambling, like, how do I undo this reaction? Is there a way I can undo this? And I'm like,
no matter what, you have to
talk to this
person.
I'll delete the app
now.
Again just because I can't.
Yeah.
And then I just saw that she had opened the snap. So I guess she's got other stuff to worry about. But as someone who I haven't talked to in almost 10 years, probably.
Oh.
She is on Snapchat that I questioned the.
Oh, her mom's
death of her.
Oh, my God. That is brutal.
I didn't know what to do. So I just deleted the chat.
I would throw my phone as far as I can.
I was trying to undo it. So I don't know if that's possible or not. I need to sound like an old person that doesn't
know
how to use.
Yeah.
Technology, but
better
Snapchat
like
is
that's the
to me.
Text messages now you can unsend. Snapchats, I think,
yeah,
they're permanent.
Yes. And I was telling someone this story, and they were like, "Wait, you didn't like reach out to her and explain?" I was like, "No, I am not going to message this person that I haven't talked to in 10 years and be like, hey, sorry about the question mark reaction about the thing. Hope everything's going all right." Like, that would have been mad. Just
she's out with her friends, like, yeah. You know my story the other night, and you know Matt Gagan, he sent a question mark to that. A question mark.
Does he think I'm lying? That's
yikes. Speaking of deaths and mother deaths, we were talking last night about Nicole's mom has this neighbor, and her neighbor's probably like 75 years old, this woman, and her mother had been living with her. It was kind of like, Tierney likened it to like a SpongeBob Chocolates family. If you could picture that, audience.
Oh, I can. Great candidates for Mother Day.
So the worm-looking one, I guess, the mother.
You're talking about the SpongeBob episode or the actual people? The worm-looking one?
Well, yeah, the actual people now I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, okay.
She, I don't know if she looked like a worm or not, but the one in the SpongeBob episode. She was 100, like 101 years old.
Oh, my God.
And oh my God. All of a sudden, Nicole's mom, a few weeks ago, gets a text from her neighbor, the 75-year-old, and it's just a picture of a bed, like, made, but no one in it. And then Nicole's mom uses the famous question mark, hits the question mark button on that. And then the woman goes, "She's gone. She passed last night."
That's so crazy.
All she gets is just a picture of an empty bed. Has to inquire about it.
She's gone. She had a case of mother death.
She had a case of the SpongeBob worm.
Oh, God. Gone too soon. That's a crazy way to deliver news. I love it. It's
a funny story.
It'd be funny if, like, every day she, like, sent her a picture of her mom, like, alive in the bed. And, like,
right.
That day she's not there anymore. And, like, that would make more sense, at least.
The bed picture I'm picturing also has, like, an indent of a body. Like, where she once laid.
Oh, that's so crazy. All right. I guess no easy segue. I guess we'll head into this retrospective special.
Let's do it.
Again, what a tongue twister of Gossip Girl. I really thought there would be more. I had never seen this before. I could only imagine you'd never seen it, Brendan. It would be weird if you'd never seen the show.
I think after I finished the finale, I had gone into like the first 5 minutes of this because I was like, oh, let me check this out. And then I was like, oh, maybe some other time. And that was today. Yeah.
I guess, you know, I did not even know it existed, but I figured, you know, let's at least check it out. Ease our way back into podcasting. Little blurb here. The Gossip Girl cast and producers look back at the show's many unforgettable moments. Original air date, December 17th, 2012. I believe the same day as the finale. It seems like it aired, like, right before the finale. And I feel like this is going to be quick. Again,
might be quick.
The shit a little bit, and we start with the Gossip Girl voiceover narration. Was this a clip, or did you know? I don't think Kristen Bell came back for this retrospective here to say, "Hey, Upper East Siders, Gossip Girl here." I'm assuming they went into the archives for that. And we start 6 years ago. We fell in love with their stories, and Blake Lively is the first confessionalist we see. She thinks it's exciting to look back in celebration of the last 6 years. Side note, when I was doing this to take notes, I'm devastated to report that HBO Max, now known as Max, has gotten even worse with their playback. It is so glitchy. It is so now every time I press pause, if it goes away, I have to when you press play, it doesn't play. The bar comes up again, and you have to press play again. The little rewind. It used to be you press the little rewind, and it goes back like a second. And we jumped back. Then it was like 10 seconds. Like, this is annoying.
Well, my rewind too is even worse. It's slow at first, and all of a sudden it goes whoa. It speeds all the way the fuck up to go to the very end.
That's bad too. But I usually. I don't even know if it was rewind. I think it might be just like the back, like the little arrow where you can press it and it goes back like a second. Then it started doing like 10 seconds. Now I was doing it yesterday or today or whenever I was doing this, and I was pressing back and it was jumping back like 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to get like the last second of what someone said, it was going back, you know, halfway across the episode. And I was like, I gotta watch this whole thing again.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, very, very upset about that. So yeah, we're gonna see some classic scenes and sound bites from the pilot episode, you know, back when we loved the show, and then we hear Ed Westwick's real voice for the first time when he said, you know, "It's been a long, fantastic ride. Everyone's enjoyed it immensely." Did you remember that Chuck was British in real life?
I did remember that. It is still weird to hear him because I don't listen to him talk ever except for on the show. So it was like, oh yeah, it was a reminder more than anything else.
I'm having conversations with him.
Not often.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously knew he was British. I don't know if I had ever heard his actual voice, though.
Yeah, it is always interesting to see that sort of thing. Like, your Hugh Laurie's and whatnot. Like, I wonder if I looked back now and watched the episodes, if I could like catch him here and there with like a little bit of like, that's not like a perfect American accent. But in my opinion, like, without realizing this during the first watch through the series, like, I think he did a pretty good job with his American accent.
And you know, Hugh Laurie, very good American accent.
Oh yeah, like Chuck had a little bit of a crutch because he had like a weird way of speaking, and maybe that was his way of like speaking American. So there's something there.
Leighton Meester shows up. The crowd goes wild. Never would have expected.
I miss seeing her, truly.
I know. She never would have expected for 6 years that were so well-written and challenging. This is taken out of context because we hear this thing again later when she's actually just talking about the character of Blair. But when they insert it here, it makes it seem like she's talking about the show. And I was like, you know, I would argue that, you know, not all 6 of those years were well-written, but it turns out that she wasn't even talking the show in general. So.
Right.
Then the words say, "We fell in love with their city." And this is going to be like the hugest sticking point of the. Everyone is waxing poetic about New York and how amazing New York. What an episode for New York.
It really was. This
was like a promotional campaign to get people to visit New York.
Right.
Chase Crawford has his first confessional, and it's about as dynamic as you'd expect it to be for Nate. "We're shooting in Manhattan. It doesn't get any better than that." Thank you, Chase.
Chase, whose lip looked worse than it ever has, like during this series.
Keeps getting worse.
Like I thought this would be after he's done shooting, and he looks really, really bad.
I think he might just keep like the lip. It gets less fat, and then he's like, "Oh, but people love the fat lips." So he just keeps like biting down on it so that it gets bigger.
Yeah.
There's a book I read in sixth grade reading class. I believe it was The Ringer. And, you know, on his birthday, he got these birthday punches and a huge bruise formed. And everyone thought it was so tough because he had the bruise.
Yeah.
And he loved all the attention he was getting. And then when it started to fade, he was like, "I'm going to miss the attention." So he started, like, coloring it in purple. He didn't. There was no self-harm. He was just coloring.
This isn't the novelization of the Johnny Knoxville movie.
You know what? Maybe it wasn't called The Ringer. Maybe it was called The Bird Ringer, because I think they ring birds' necks in that book. I don't know why. I don't know what the connection was. But yeah, so again, not really much here. Blake Lively talks about how great New York is. We get some more clips from the show. And then we fell in love with their style. Really trying to get us into it. Our love became obsession. Kaylee DeFer is here. She seems weirdly excited that people were coming up to her on the street telling her how much they hate her. She's like, "Everyone came up to me. They hated me. They said we hate you so much."
I guess Sarah, she's like, "Oh, I do matter, I guess, in some way."
You gotta get recognition any way you can, I guess. Michelle Trachtenberg as Georgina is reminiscing about the paparazzi and the screaming girls. And then we see tonight, their story comes to an end. We see the brains behind the show, Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage. They're excited to be bringing the story to fruition. This is obviously right before this epically terrible series finale, and we're just hearing about how excited they are to show us all of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, the New York stuff was, I guess, cool, because when I think about it, it would be awesome if you were in New York City and you see that whole big setup. It is cool that they did do it all in actual New York, and I'm sure that it added so much of the charm. Like, you don't really think about it too much when you're just watching passively, but it would have been a different show if they did film it all on like an LA set, for sure.
Yeah, you've really been New York pilled by this special.
It worked on me, because when they went over to LA and to Paris, I was like, "Fuck those places, fuck Paris."
And for those of you who aren't watching the video, Brendan is wearing an "I Love New York" T-shirt. I heart.
Might as well. I'm wearing I'm wearing a New Paltz T-shirt and a Yankees hat, so I am. All New York.
New York, baby. He's New York. It's time to say farewell, and we finally see Penn Badgley. I was starting to think he wouldn't show up because he seems so over Gossip Girl, but he describes the feeling as a poignant one. It feels good, which to me, translation is he can't wait to be done with this stupid show. It's like, I feel excited. I feel good that it's ending. I really do. It's time we move on.
One of the best parts about this, though, is that we're getting season 6 versions of all these people. So we get essentially the hottest cast we'll have, except for Chase Crawford, who looks like kind of drunk and has seven lips. Yeah. And also, like, Chase Crawford's he was like maybe the most interesting one out of all these, because
I agree. He
had a lot of personality. He's talking about how he couldn't wait to go back to all these bars that they found like right before his issues with drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. And then he also called some of his co-stars Well, with the one co-star, a MILF and a cougar.
Yeah, he was good. I was going to say, if there was anyone that was like maybe the MVP, it could be Chase Crawford.
It's just like he had fun on the show for sure.
Yeah. Everyone else is just kind of like, yeah, this happened. Yeah, that happened.
Right.
This person was
like,
there.
I'm obligated to do this. I'm just going to do it. But
yeah.
Yes. He had fun with it.
Ed Westwick has really enjoyed his character. Chase Crawford says he's good. I mean, one of the personalities we're thinking, Chase Crawford said he's going to run down the street naked and drink champagne.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see it.
Everyone thinks it's going to be weird to not see each other every day. Blake Lively is going to go through withdrawal. So that's the little introduction. And then we cut to the iconic first scene of Gossip Girl. Spotted in Grand Central, bags in hand, Serena Vanderwoods. And, you know, we can all quote it. We see the iconic shot of Serena going up the stairs in Grand Central. You know, everyone knows where they were when they first saw this. You know, every time I'm in Grand Central, I imagine I'm Serena Vanderwoods in.
Yeah.
And I think of this scene. You know, every time I hear the whistle to young folks, I do the same thing. And we of course, hear those whistles with... You know, I'm not going to actually whistle on microphone because, you know, that could be ear piercing.
You are whistling. That's what your whistle sounds like. It sounds like someone going do.
Yeah, it usually does. Yeah.
You're in Grand Central like actually a lot because of all the buses. They usually take the buses out of Grand Central.
I'm from Grand Central. I'm podcasting. No. Usually, because I would always take Megabus. RIP Megabus. It has gone bankrupt.
Really?
Stupid Peter Pan has taken over.
Oh, wow.
I was telling this story at the baby shower the other day. Did I not tell you this story? I guess
I don't know.
Maybe
we were sat at different tables.
Okay, so no, I guess, but in like since then, I guess not. So another something weird that I guess happened to me is that Megabus has gone bankrupt, and Peter Pan bus line has taken over all of their routes. They did not tell. It's not like, but like Megabus.com still exists, so you can still book Megabus because all the routes still exist through Peter Pan bus. But it's not nowhere on the website. They don't like message you. That's saying, by the way, this isn't Megabus anymore. It's Peter Pan. So I didn't know that I was going to be in a Megabus.
So when you sign up for a Megabus and you purchase a ticket, you're going to show up, and there's going to be a Peter Pan bus waiting for you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get the Megabus experience when I do this. So I buy tickets to DC to celebrate Lita. Friend of the show, Lita, and Kevin's great engagement. I went to the engagement party in Washington, D.C. Congrats to Lita. Very happy
for
Lita and Kevin. Yes.
And
so it was just going to be a day trip. I was just going to go. I only took one day off of work. You know, D.C. is not too far. So I figured bus there, overnight bus back, and then straight to work, which is crazy. But
dedication. Good friend.
Dedication to the field. So I go, and first I realize something is wrong because they're taking me to Port Authority bus terminal instead of the Megabus stop in New York City. So I'm like, what's going on here? I figure out that I'm getting on a Peter Pan bus. I'm like, I don't like this. I guess homeless man takes me because I'm clearly lost. And he's like, here, I'll take you where you need to go. And I was like, this guy's obviously going to ask for money now, but I didn't want to be like, no, because I did need to know where to go. So I was like, all right. And I had some cash on me. And then he gets he's very specific. He's like, all right, thank you. And if you could just give me $14, that would be great. Like, I don't know why he had the standard. So I was like, okay. So I'm like counting. I'm like taking money. I'm like counting. I'm like, yeah, just take whatever's here. I don't get. Just get out of here. Let me get my Peter Pan bus. That's what happened. So then, you know, the bus was at 10:30. Usually the bus will come at like 10:15 and start loading people on. 10:30 comes, no bus. I'm like, this is weird. So finally at like 10:40, a lady comes in. She's like, all right, everyone here for the 11 a.m. bus? I was like, what the fuck? And people at the front were like, no, it's 10:30, it's 10:30. And I was like, okay, thank God I'm not the only one.
Just right,
like,
right.
No, 11, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Just 11,
fine.
It's 11 now.
What?
No one tells anyone anything. She's like, no, 11. It's like, so I'm like, so if I have a ticket to a 10:30 bus and this is the 11, but like, I'm going to be, like, yeah, it'll be fine. You got an email. I'm like, no, I did not. And the people in the front were like, no, we did not. I'm like, okay, great. We're in this together. They're like, no, they messaged you. It's 11. It's 11. I'm like, no, you're lying to our faces. And so we get on. Also, everyone just, so rude. Like I you know, I don't really care. Like rude people, it is funny to me when people are just rude for no reason. I'm like, why is everyone so mean? Like, I don't understand. So we stop at a rest stop. I'm like, okay, great. It has a Burger King. I'll get some food. And we stop, and the guy's like, all right, 13 minutes, and then we're leaving. I'm getting a specific number. I'm like, okay, great.
Interesting.
I leave. I'm like, okay, we have 30 minutes. And he's like, no, 13 minutes. Like, that's such a crazy specific number that it seems like he's serious. That why'd you say 13 if it was going to, like, if it was going to be like 15 or higher, you'd just say 15 minutes. But he says 13 minutes.
He's like, well, you guys all wanted to leave at 11 o'clock, so we got to cut these short. Like, that was not our idea, sir.
And also, it's just such a long, like, it's not long enough. I go to the bathroom. By the time I get online, I get to the front of the line, place my order on the kiosk. It's been 11, 12 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Now I got to wait for the food. For the people next to me, at this point, we've gotten to 13 minutes. And they're like, it's been 13 minutes. He said 13 minutes. I don't want to risk it. And say they go with, they paid for their food. They go without getting it. I'm like, should I wait? Should I follow them? I probably should follow them. So I wait another 2 minutes. At this point, it's 15 minutes. And I still haven't gotten my food. And I'm like, I got to. And I spent $22 on Burger King. And I just. So I leave, I go back, there's only one Peter Pan bus in the parking lot, so I'm like, all right, this is
Oh, no.
So I go up to the bus, completely different bus driver.
Holy like, shit.
And no one made an announcement, like, we're going to be switching bus drivers, by the way, at this rest stop.
Were their
no
faces never familiar about, on the bus, though?
I don't know, because I couldn't turn, I just saw the bus driver. So I just go in, and I'm like, oh, is this the right bus? Like, where's this bus going to? And he's like, well, where are you coming from? Like, all rude, and like just start, like, with an attitude, I'm like... New York. He's like, yeah, you're on the right bus. I'm like, but I want to make sure because, like, he doesn't mention, like, yeah, we changed drivers.
Right, right, right. Like, but you weren't my driver before.
Like, sir, you're a different person. Don't act like I'm crazy. You're a completely different person right now. So I'm like, so I want to make sure before I get on the bus. I'm like, this is the bus that's going to D.C.? He's like, and he rolls his eyes at me, and he's like, yeah, D.C. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, and also, it's not like he's getting ready to go. The bus is not in, like,
right.
Drive.
Can I go back and get my food?
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, like, so when are we, like, how much time do I have to go back, get my food, and come back? And he's like, your time's up. Okay. So I get on the bus. My time was not up. We were sitting there for another 8 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And then the total time was 25 minutes, not 13, as the first guy said, the completely different guy. And it was even 8 more minutes from when the guy said, your time's up. So I never get my food. I'm just like, this is unbelievable. So, but then I go, and you think that's going to be the worst of it.
I have a feeling this more.
So I took a 1:30 a.m. mega bus, quote, Peter Pan bus.
That was just the way that you got there safely, though.
That was just the way there. Okay. I get there. So I take a 1:30 a.m. back. I get there nice and early. I get there at 12:15. Like, all right, I'm not going to miss out. I'm going to come here. There's other people waiting there. You know, everyone's like sleeping in their chairs, waiting for the bus to come. But then again, it's like 1:15 comes, still no bus. 1:30, I'm like, okay, well, the other bus was late. I guess this bus will be late, too. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's 1:45.
They just have you accepting the fact that these buses are now a half hour late,
right.
At least.
Now, but now it's like 1:45, and it's like people are getting restless. They're like looking for someone to talk to. They're like walking around to find information.
And again,
but
like, you're in the same camp as these people, so you feel like, okay, I'm annoyed, but like at least I'm not the only one here.
Right. We can't all be in the wrong place.
Right.
So we're sitting, but there's no employee. It's the middle of the night. There's no employees there. There's no one to talk to. There's no one to ask. Mm-hmm. I'm looking there. The only thing there is a little like help desk inside, like a help kiosk type place for Greyhound bus, not Peter Pan bus. I'm like, all right. So I try to call Megabus. Nothing. I try to call Peter Pan. The hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. So I can't. So like, what good does that do me?
Right.
No one's answering. I'm like, I'm trying to look up. Every time I go to the bus tracker, it says cannot be tracked. I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm like wandering around, I'm looking for anyone to talk to, you know, people. It's like it's past 2 a.m. at this point. I'm like,
boy.
I don't even know if this bus is coming. So I go to inside the little Greyhound help desk thing. So I go inside that little building and I'm like, hello, like, I know this is Greyhound, but I just wanted to know, like, is there anywhere I can go to find information on my Peter Pan bus? And the guy just looks up at me and goes, no. Nothing, like... Again, rude for no reason. So I'm like, no, there's nowhere in this entire place that I can find out. And he's just like, oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I leave. I was very, very nervous that it was going to be a rock bottom situation where the bus comes while I'm in the little house. I'm like glancing over my shoulder.
Worst one, yeah.
So I come back. I'm like, people are like leaving at this point. People are like, you know, I guess I'm like, I don't want to leave. And then the bus comes because, you know, and then it's like a little past 2:30. And a Peter Pan bus shows up. I'm like, okay. All right. It's like 2:30, 2:45. It's so late, but it's here. It's fine. I'll get back. It'll be whatever.
It just drives right past.
I'm waiting. No, it parks. They turn like the light off. They turn the bus off. And the bus driver goes to the back. And I never see the bus driver again. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, okay, I'll wait for the bus driver to come out. And surely he's going to come out. And I'm going to say, like, is this the bus to New York? When is this leaving? the guy never comes out. Like, I don't know if he, there was like a back exit that he was able to get out of the bus and like scurry out the side and like run away, or if he just like took a nap, like, in the
I don't
back,
care. Whoever wants to drive the rest of the way, you can take the wheel. I don't care who does it.
I'm like, are you, so now it's just, there's a Peter Pan bus that's off, just like parked, going nowhere. And I'm like, are you fucking hitting me? So I'm like looking to see, like, the next bus isn't scheduled to come till 3:30. But at this point, who even knows if that bus is going to show up? I'm like looking for Greyhound. It's like more expensive, and I already have the Peter Pan ticket. But you know, the next one's not till 3:15, and it's full. Then there's a second 3:15, but it makes so many stops it doesn't get in till like 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm like, at this point, let me just wait for the 3:30. I'll be like, listen, the 1:30 never showed up, so I'm getting on this 3:30. But then, like, to taunt me, at 3:15, both the scheduled Greyhound buses show up. And I'm like, oh, it'd be so nice to just be on a Greyhound bus right now. So I checked again. There was one spot open on that Greyhound bus that wasn't making that many stops. So I grabbed it. I was like, fuck it, I'm just getting on this Greyhound bus. I got on. They were also super rude, super mean, but I didn't even care. I got on and I made it. But so that's, never take Peter Pan is the moral of the story. I don't know what I'm going to do for my bus needs anymore, because Megabus, they need to come back. Revive Megabus is the moral of the story.
Do you think that Greyhound also owns Peter Pan and they make you buy tickets for buses that don't exist and then you end up buying a Greyhound anyway?
That'd be interesting. That thought never occurred in my mind at 3:00 in the morning.
And so, what happened to all those people? Like every single other person that was there waiting for that original bus.
They had started to filter out. I'd seen a couple that was there. They had gotten a ticket to the other 3:15 bus that was making a bunch of stops. So it's like, oh, you guys are going to be on this bus for 6 hours, but I'm glad you're getting out at least.
Right.
So I don't know what happened to everyone else. They must have just waited for the.
They seem upset, like they were just like, yeah, this kind of happens. We expected this.
I mean, everyone was just like, I mean, a lot of people were going to sleep, which was, I guess, a good decision. But
yeah,
there was nothing to be done. It was just, you know.
That's horrible, especially like when you had only been to your destination for like, how many hours were you there for?
So I guess, you know, the bus, stupid fucking bus, was late getting there, of course.
Right.
So it was, you know, I got there probably like, I was actually, when I showed up to the park, I was so, because it was a surprise, I was so afraid I was going to get in there and like ruin the surprise.
Right.
And I got in there at like 4, like 18 or something. When I was supposed to be there at 4, and I got in and they were like, oh, good. Okay. Everyone's here. Whew. I was like, okay. So I'm the literal last person to show up. So I was there from like 4 to, and then I left it. You know, I was supposed to leave at 1:30. So I left.
Yeah.
It
at least it was good that the bus was late, because you got to spend more time there on the way back.
I mean, just by myself waiting in the lot. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, this is nice. I get more DC.
Get more time in DC.
All right.
They never touched DC in Gossip Girl, I'm pretty sure.
No, they did not. They never go to
New York, because of LA, Paris, that's it. Nowhere else.
That's all. And the Hamptons.
Maybe Poughkeepsie wherever that was. Was it Poughkeepsie? Or somewhere near Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, I think there's a Poughkeepsie, yeah. Josh Schwartz discusses how he was coming off the iconic OC. He had very little interest in doing another teen drama, which is interesting because it seems like that's what he is the master of. So,
right.
But anyway, he reads the first Gossip Girl.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Book. He wasn't ready to leave high school after all. Who is this mystery person just sending Josh Schwartz young adult books to read? Like, You got to read Gossip Girl, man.
Oh, okay. That is true.
Stephanie Savage, also excited. They're off to the races. And then, you know, just to hammer this home, retrospective is boring. Like, I feel like we don't learn anything new or interesting about the show.
It's kind of the whole thing is just like, didn't you guys have fun watching the show?
It's like, very point. Like, I don't know.
It makes sense more for like someone who had never seen the show. But if they aired this right before the finale,
then it's like, it's
really useless.
For?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it would maybe get you excited to watch this show if you had never seen it.
Yeah. Well, I guess. So Blake Lively loves the books. Stephanie Savage says there was nothing on the air romanticizing New York City since Sex and the City was off the air, and she missed it. The anonymous online blogger, also an interesting hook, you know. And who am I? That's one secret I'll never tell. And they talk about how when Cecily von Ziegler, or whatever her name is, wrote Gossip Girl, Perez Hilton and TMZ weren't invented yet, so this was something that Cecily created. And I guess that is true. A quick Google search tells me that both Perez Hilton and TMZ launched in 2005, while the first Gossip Girl book released in 2002. So congrats, Gossip Girl,
on being
the first. Yeah. You know, Penn Badgley discusses the tagline of the first season. You know, you're nothing until you're talked about. Gotta say, Penn's chest hair really raging out of his V-neck
That's what you asked for.
Yeah, I guess I never realized what a trendsetter this show was, because even Penn Badgley's like, yeah, Gossip Girl, ahead of the trend. I'm like, okay, well, Penn Badgley's saying it, I guess I have to believe it.
I guess it's true, yeah. I mean, yeah, we didn't watch it in the original era. I mean,
yeah,
Obama
so,
watched it, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Josh Schwartz tells us the concept of the show. In case we still didn't know, he also discussed shooting in New York. Again, if there's two things this special really wants us to know, is that Gossip Girl took place in New York, and there was someone reporting the lives of these people in the show, and that's such a unique concept. They're gonna really tell us this.
Michelle Trachtenberg telling these people that watched six seasons of a show how unique the concept of the show was.
Yeah. Michelle Trachtenberg is like, you know, a lot of shows take place in New York, but are filmed. In L.A.
Wow.
I mean, that sucks
you don't get to
see the streets and all the taxis. It's actually one of the most important elements of the show. It feels like, you know, is she taking a shot at Seinfeld here? Famously, New York show shot in L.A.?
Wow.
I agree, like, as you were saying, that filming in New York is part of the magic of the show. But they are acting like they're the first people to ever think of filming something in New York.
Right.
The second biggest
the small
market,
town.
Like, after L.A. Yeah. Like, we're the first people to think of actually filming in New York. Like, no one's ever done it before.
Instead of building an entire town.
We hear the classic Serena line, like, Dan, oh my God, this is what I love about the city. You're always bumping into people. I say that all the time when I bump into someone in the city. This is what I love about the city. You're always bumping into people. So we hear about Stephanie Savage's prep for the show. She booked a hotel and just spied on teenage girls going to prep school and interviewed them about their lives. I guess release the interviews. I need to meet like the person who was the bassist for Blair Waldorf. Like,
right. Which girl was that?
And she also like typed up her own little essays about the real girls of the Upper East Side, and they were even more wild than the books. Which maybe, but I refuse to believe they were more wild than like half the stuff that happened on the show. Like, lest we forget, people were being sold for hotels on the show. also, release these essays. I want to see these essays about the real girls of the Upper East Side.
This part just made me mad about how much fun it was to spend time with our gang in high school.
Yes.
It was like the best stuff. Because like, they were talking about how edgy the show was, and I'm like,
years.
All like, the craziest stuff was really just high school stuff. Like, it really, everyone became, like we talked about on the show, everyone became an adult, and it really kind of got boring, and everyone had separate lives. But when they're all stuck together in the same places, when the famous pool party happened and all that good stuff.
Don't worry, we will be going back to high school in the Gossip Girl reboot!
Oh, shit! I love the reboot now.
I love the reboot. That's it. Remember VH1, I love the 80s. Leighton Meester, she was raised in South Florida, which means she has no idea what this lifestyle was like. There's no such thing as taxis in South Florida.
No.
There's no streets of New York in
no.
South Florida.
Nope.
We finally see your girl, Kelly Rutherford, get a confessional. And with a big smile, she says, I miss you, Brendan. That's what you heard. We deal with the same things at the end of the day. No idea what this is in reference to. did you love the talking head, Brendan? Were you like, we do deal with the same things, Kelly? Please.
We do. Yeah, I mean, every time she was on screen, Nicole was like, your girl.
Your girl.
Your girl. Was watching she, and Nicole was like, Brendan loves Kelly. Please call her by her real name.
Lily?
Lily, yeah.
Yeah. We see the Gossip Girl effect. Josh tells us that at first they didn't have a lot of access to the city, but soon people realized that if you were on the show, it's a good thing. Chase Crawford is liked all the cool bars they filmed in. He's really just like Nate.
Yeah, he really is.
Josh is like, the show is a love letter to New York City, you know, much like Gossip Girl's blog being a love letter to the main characters. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, we know about these. There's the Gossip Girl tours where you go by the locations the characters visited. I've never taken the Gossip Girl tour, even though I want to. I do think we should do this tour for homework.
I think we should. It'll be fun. I know. I think not to mention Mel's cousin before this episode, but she said if she comes to New York before the end of the year, we should definitely go do that with her.
Yes. Kelly's back, and she comes back to say that she thought it was amazing when Michael Bloomberg was here. Okay. Cut to Bloomberg proclaiming Thursday, January 26, 2012 in the city of New York as Gossip Girl Day. And he finishes by saying, congratulations, XOXO. I love how natural he said it. Like, yeah. You could tell he says this all the time. I was going to say I never knew the official Gossip Girl Day, but I think that not Michelle Trachtenberg, but Michelle of Michelle fame. Of Total Betty podcast actually told us it was the day that we were supposed to do some kind of podcast that never ended up happening. But we'll celebrate the next one.
It's coming up soon again. So,
Ed Westwick talks about how remarkable the show's impact on New York City is. You know, he's also like staring deep into my soul as he gives his confessionals. It's very unsettling.
Yeah, this is a lot of Chuck in Ed.
Yes, for sure. We talk about the casting. I noticed that Taylor Momsen, it seems like, didn't come back for this. Sorry, she didn't have any confessionals.
No.
I guess we should just be happy she had those few seconds in the series finale of her.
They showed her face a lot in these the little cutaways, too.
Yeah. Leighton Meester auditioning for pilot. She immediately knew that she loved Blair and wanted to play that character. And honestly, the world is a better place because of that, because she decided that.
Chase Crawford says there's this young little girl, cute as a button. And she can act. And she's got it.
This girl's going to go places.
Old man Chase Crawford.
Leighton says that she auditioned 20 times. Like, why so many times? What was this audition process that she was? And this is when Chase Crawford is like, I knew that she'd get the part as long as she could act. I'm like, okay, thank you, old Chase Crawford.
And in her 20th audition, she could finally act.
Leighton just wanted to work. This is when we hear the repurposed confessional where she's like, yeah, I never knew that 6 years the writing would be so great for Blair. Makes a lot more sense. First year. Blake talks about how when they filmed the pilots, they all lived together in a hotel for 2 weeks. Again, release the footage. That would be a hell of a reality
show. Yeah, that sounds
so fun. And again, Blake Lively has to mention how New York City is the most incredible place in the world. Is New York City funding the retrospective? Is that why this got...
I guess it must be.
New York City's like, we need... Tourism sales need to go up. Like, please just have the characters say that New York City is so great.
And of course, New York City is really, really fun when you, like in the show, if you have a ton of money, of course, it's really, really fun.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, when you have... Even Chase Crawford's like, it was the best excuse to be in New York and live in New York.
Yeah, you're getting paid to be there. And like, and you're also like, your stay is getting paid for...
And then Josh Schwartz remembers how they were filming at the Palace and no one gave a shit. And then Leighton Meester talks about how it was different after the show premiered. And it's like, yeah, before the show, obviously no one cared because no one knew who you were. Now after the show, everyone cared. Like, makes sense. Okay.
I mean, I guess it was a little interesting how they said, like, since the writer's strike, they didn't have new episodes coming out. And, like, the repeats being on air for a little while helped people catch up. And then
I guess, that maybe
momentum.
The most interesting tidbit that we learned is that... How apparently they didn't do so well in their first season, and 13 episodes into the show, the writer's strike happened, production stopped, which apparently really helped the show because everything was repeating, and apparently everyone started watching the Gossip Girl repeats. And I actually did not know this lore and the show's history, so I guess this was good for learning something.
Yeah, that was about it.
Yeah, so they come back from the strike, much bigger audience interest in the show. They were invited to do a panel at the Paley Festival the first year. You know, they caught on. There was something about the show that people were reacting to. We finally got our first Matthew Settle confessional as Rufus, and he realized the show was going to be fine, and it kept going. Like, thank you for
coming. Thanks. He comes on and says, that's what I call Plymouth Rock.
That would have been great. Blake Lively was so excited every time the show got renewed for another season, and can you guess why? I think she said... We get to live
paid.
In New York for another year, and we get to get paid for it. Don't
I have a job again next year? Like, yeah, of course, I'd be fucking excited.
And she finishes up with like, "Don't tell." And,
don't
like,
tell
cue the Serena
that I'm
giggle.
Working.
Like, but can these actors not just live in New York if they want to? Like, I get that most things film in L.A., but they seem to really love New York, and they could just live there.
Yeah, you definitely could.
They want to get paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, apparently no one took the show seriously at first, but the people who are actually from that world validated it and embraced it, which forced people to take a second look. You know, not sure, but sure. thing is, you know, half of this retrospective is just random clips from the show, which is to be expected, but it does feel like mostly filler.
Yeah, I guess I'd almost prefer your classic clip show more than this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just give us the clips, and then we'll just be like, show. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, ooh. do the Seinfeld move and do like the second to last episode could be clip show.
Yeah. So we segue into discussion about how controversial the show was when it came on. And this is definitely true, as we've discussed. I guess very tame by modern standards, you know, once we're about to see the reboot come on.
Right.
Back in the day, you know, it was like, oh my God, high schoolers were drinking and having sex. No way. You know, parents, television associations, and watch groups were against the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get to flashback to some of the show's raunchier moments, like Blair saying Mother Chucker. Ooh, I can't that even think great. Of that. So, oh my God.
How
I had
gruesome.
To turn the TV off. So, Blake Lively tells us, you know, you can't really watch the show with your family, which in my case is not true because me and my mom famously watched the show together.
Yeah. It's like, it's not like that bad. I don't know.
And I would always be like, Mom, cover your ears. She's about to say Mother Chucker. I mean, I guess it makes more sense for Blake Lively to say this, that like she cannot watch with her family because she is the one having sex and doing
yes.
drugs in these scenes.
Right. But there's no like, nip slips or anything like that.
Not that I know of. Maybe in your versions there were.
Yeah. But for the general audience.
The version where Kelly Rutherford is saying, I missed you, Brendan, and giving you a little flash.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I actually really like this retrospective for that reason.
It's time to discuss the milestones of the show. Magazine covers. New York Magazine put them on the cover as the best show ever. Of course, it was New York Magazine that did this. But there was an asterisk, as they point out. We see the iconic picture of the Gossip Girl cast dressed in all white in their like bedtime gear and sleeping in the same bed together with, of course, the Dan and Jenny characters being far too close to one another as brother and sister. some of the other headlines make the front page.
That's also, John by the Heilman, way, going to be... I need your address soon because I'm sending out a Christmas card, and the Ruppel family is going to send a very similar photo.
Some of the other headlines on the front page of New York Magazine, John Heilman on The Economy, stupid 08 edition, Madonna defends herself, and Tom Cruise in parentheses, shoes versus feet.
Oh,
and the Church of Atheism.
Would like this one.
Sounds like a pretty good edition. It's funny that Stephanie Savage mentions the asterisk, but she does not go into what the asterisk meant, and I was a little curious about it, so I did look up the cover, and it says, Gossip Girl, best show ever, asterisk. And then you follow the asterisk at the below bottom of the thing. Mm-hmm. It says, asterisk, not really. So it seems like the qualifier is that it's not the best show ever at all, but I guess Stephanie Savage still took it as a win.
Like, you think they could have said, like, to some... But like
yeah,
not really
no, it
is.
Just says it, not really. Yeah, not really. As you alluded to, Brendan, they got name-checked by Obama, which Blake Lively seems like she didn't know about, and she can't believe. She's like, what? Obama? No, what a way. But we cut to the clip of Obama saying, what is he on, like a Gossip Girl or something?
Big pop Obama. For him in the room there.
Woo, we love Gossip Girl! there were intense crowd situations. Actors got mobbed. They needed security. You know, Kaylee DeFer wasn't aware of how big the show was until she was on it. Apparently, all the girls would gather around their trailers, and they really liked to pet Michelle Trachtenberg's hair, which seems pretty strange to me.
No, I get that.
Oh, you would have stuck in a pet of the hair? Oh,
easily.
Hair there.
There, Trachty.
Attractive. They called her attractive because she was so attractive.
She was so attractive.
Penn remembers when he first saw their pictures on a building. He was just like, come on. You know, to be 20 years old, not be broke, sharing it with six other kids going through the same thing. You know, parties constantly, tinted windows, clothes being given to you. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the dream. I gotta give it to him.
Yeah.
And just when I thought they hadn't mentioned New York in a while, here's Josh Schwartz to let us know that they got to see New York in a way that only their characters could understand. Like, okay, sure.
Yeah. So you paid these kids to just, like, party and fuck each other when they were filming.
Yeah, exactly. So, Josh Schwartz mentions that they have some of the most passionate fans in television history. I'm inclined to agree. I liked it enough to start a podcast about it. So,
yeah. And listen to all of the user reviews. You hear the passion.
Yeah. Right. And we see the visual of a bunch of Gossip World tweets. Josh says his Twitter feed is often just a war between Dan and Blair shippers and Chuck and Blair shippers. Dare versus Chair in a battle royale. Stephanie thinks the fan community has really grown since the OC days. That's thanks to the Gossip Girl. Penn Badgley can't even get breakfast without a bunch of people taking pictures of him. And then Kaylee DeFer's like, I remember having to kiss Chase Crawford outside of the plaza, and a bunch of teenage girls were screaming and crying at me, like, no, why? Like, why was that the reaction?
That's a little cool, too, I guess, because, like, the people that are following the plot and are like, sneaking up to see them film the show.
Yeah. It's like, no, you're kissing her.
They're like, oh, shit, no.
We hate you.
Yeah. The same girls say they hate her. That must be cool to get, like, a spoiler of the TV show, like, in person.
Yeah.
Watching
yes.
it filmed.
Josh and Stephanie talk about how there's so many fans in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who come up to them and tell them how much they love the show, even though they're not the target demographic. And that's us.
That's us.
Although, you know, we definitely were the target demo when the show was airing.
At the time, yeah.
But, yeah. This was one of my favorite parts. What you alluded to, Chase Crawford still gets texts from his nanny.
A combination of nanny and Grammy.
Chase Crawford still gets texts from nanny saying, I don't like you with that MILF. Brendan, has your nanny ever sent you any text like that before?
Yeah, she's always on MILF watch for me.
And then Chase has to, like, take it back. He's like, oh, wait, nanny didn't say MILF. She said cougar. I'm going to get in so much trouble.
In trouble because he misquoted nanny.
Nanny texted him again. I never said MILF.
I said cougar.
You do another retrospective and clear my name. We have a whole segment on the fashion of Gossip Girl, something that, you know, we were famously always into. We were always able to comment on when we covered the episode.
Yep.
Show created great fashion moments and iconic styles. We meet the costume designer. He talks about how when Leighton puts on the headband, she just transforms into Blair Waldorf. Mm-hmm. That happens whenever I put on a headband as well, which is not too often. You've never seen me wear a headband, I don't think. When I do put it on.
When we go to the movies, sometimes you wear the headband.
Yeah, and I pretend to be Blair.
Yeah. It's cute, honestly.
Yeah. The costume designer thinks that Blake and Serena have a much more symbiotic relationship. You know, Blake inspires Serena. Serena inspires Blake. I do think that Blake Lively has some Serena in her based on the interviews that she was giving fairly recently. That's another thing.
Yes.
Blake Lively, very relevant in the media.
It's true.
During our off period.
Right. When we went off, she blew up.
She really did, given some great... God, what was the name of that movie?
Something.
The end.
It was something.
The end of.
It ends with us.
It ends with us. That sounds like I saw the movie and I can't.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nicole has read the book. Never went to see the movie.
Yeah. It was fine.
It was all right.
It was whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like some people were like, oh. You know, the problem I had it. I went in expecting to cry and ready to cry and willing to cry.
Yeah,
it did not. It didn't make me cry. I don't know. There was just something.
You give it up with your tears. Like you're happy to cry.
Yeah. I'm very happy to cry when I'm feeling the emotion.
Yeah.
So Kelly Rutherford, she's back. She mentions how they have again all of the. I feel like they might have like stolen her. Confessionals from like other interviews because none of these make sense like in context. She mentions how they have so many places to wear all these clothes and she starts laughing maniacally when she says
she's in my living room wearing those clothes.
So many places. They talk about how, you know, there's a party every week, they got to wear extravagant clothing. It's like, yeah, we mentioned how they've the event of the week every single week. Eric, the costume designer, mentions Chuck's croquet outfit, and we get to see a clip of that iconic outfit. And I was waiting for them to bring up Chuck's amazing basketball attire, and they did not disappoint. They remembered.
Thank God.
At first, Chase Crawford says that his fashion was more like he was sailing on a yacht in a Nautica ad, and he was always looking forward to what Ed would be wearing. And we cut to the iconic basketball onesie, which I think is my favorite of the two basketball outfits. Yes. And then he's like, it was in the beginning, it was more ridiculous, like yellow socks and ascots. Josh and Stephanie discuss the Chuck Best scarf evolution from scarf to ascot to cravat. Mm-hmm. What did you like the scarf era the most, the ascot era the most?
I think I'm an ascot guy just because I love Austin Powers so much. And I think he's an ascot guy. And I guess that makes sense because they wanted to get away from the ascot probably because Ed Westwick is a true Brit and they want to get him Americanizing the show.
I'm a big Scooby-Doo guy, and Fred was always wearing an ascot.
Yeah, oh so. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm a Scooby-Doo fan. Also, True Grit sounds like it could be a show. I don't know what True Grit is about, so I can't really make this joke fall and land.
This is a parody.
It's a parody.
I will say, fuck cravat, marry, no. Fuck, no, kill cravat. Fuck the scarf, and I'll marry the ascot.
I'll do the same, but I'll swap ascot and scarf. I'll marry.
So you're fucking the ascot.
I'm fucking the ascot. Fucking the red in the ascot.
Fuck me in the ascot.
Fuck me in the ascot.
And you know what? For all our listeners named Scott out there, you have a new, new potential voicemail thing.
You have a new job to do.
Anyway, Ed is actually a little upset. He's always loved ascots because he's a true. And now since the show, he can't really wear his ascots anymore. I don't know why. I guess because people would think he's like, I don't know. here we go. Josh Schwartz says, I will always go back to what Chuck was wearing on the day he tried to play basketball. Joe actually knows the most iconic outfit. It was good to see proof of that.
They're both great. I mean, I get like the onesie a lot too because it looks like he's wearing like athletic Santa Claus's clothes. but I like the OG a lot.
Yes, it's time to discuss all the iconic cameos of the show. Another thing that we were always well aware of as it was happening. We were an expert on all the cameos, obviously.
Yes.
We flash back to Rachel Zoe having the chocolate fountain poured on her head, and she says, "I." I still don't understand what that was her catchphrase or what that line reading was. Ed thinks they were very intelligent with their cameos and references, and I'll just have to take his word
for
it. And he thinks it gave a sense of authenticity to the stories, which none of these talking heads really mentioned how terrible at acting all these guest words.
No, which is our biggest gripe with it.
And how it made the scenes feel so much less authentic, I think.
Again, like the only way we ever knew that it was a cameo was like, oh, was bad actress or actor. Yeah.
That's why they're there. Okay.
Yeah.
Stephanie Savage doesn't know the word for ballerina. She said she didn't know. She wanted to get all the ballet people in the episode with the ballet.
Which, yeah, Josh Gordon immediately seems very fun to work with after he corrected her. Like, oh, that must be really annoying.
Oh, you mean ballerinas? you mean ballerinas, dear?
Hun.
Let's discuss all the fun places the show went to throughout its run. They talk about their love of New York so much, but apparently every time they got to leave New York, it made it extra special. So everything in New York was amazing, but also everything outside of New York
was
also
so great
amazing.
That leaving it was so much more fun.
This show really can't lose. It was so amazing we had to film in New York, and then when we left New York, it was even more amazing. Like, okay.
We left New York to go to a different part of New York in the Hamptons.
Yes, the Hamptons first, yeah. Los Angeles, Serena and Nate in the California sunshine, Chuck riding a motorcycle, falling off. To give L.A. the gospel treatment was fun. And then Paris. It's been Stephanie's dream to go to Paris. They had been warned beforehand that the show isn't very popular in France and it might get canceled. But Stephanie didn't care because she always wanted to go to Paris and shoot the show. But then the number of people who came out to watch and wait all night at the train station to see them was crazy. And they found out that the French teenagers were watching the show online also because they didn't want to wait a year for the show to come out on French TV. Mm-hmm. So it actually was popular in France.
Who knew? They're just watching legally.
That long for a new episode. Yeah. Now that I'm taking French, I'm currently in a French course. I think I should rewatch those episodes because I'm pretty much an expert in all things French now.
Oh, do you like French people now?
No, still hate them, but okay, I love the language.
I love the language. Okay.
Love the language. I was just doing French homework before we did the podcast. Yeah, learned the verbs dormir, sortir.
Ooh.
I can't remember the other. Partir.
Ooh, you sound good.
Thank you. I learned how to conjugate those. Fuck me in the ascot.
How you say fuck me in the ascot?
Ed says that the show didn't just belong to New York anymore. It belonged to France as well. Blake Lively relives that week in Paris daily, but she doesn't really elaborate on why. And we discussed the iconic train station scene between Blair and Chuck.
It is
we do see that clip. Yeah, truly a highlight of season 4.
I think I mentioned to Nicole when we were watching this that that might have been the last time I cared about Chuck and Blair as a couple. That was the last time they had a grip on me with the two of them, and ever since.
That's fair. Mm. That's fair.
That was great. It was good. It's a classic moment, though. Beautiful scene.
We discussed the music that appears on the show. This is something I can get married. We always talk about how amazing the music is every Josh Schwartz show. Stephanie mentions, you know, they've used Leighton songs in the show. They used Ed's band. They used Taylor Momsen of the Pretty Reckless fame. Mm-hmm. Josh Schwartz lets us know that most of the cast has record deals. Apparently, Blake Lively is a huge Florence and the Machine fan, so that's how they got them. No Doubt reunited. Mm-hmm. Lady Gaga made an appearance. And then, of course, Sonic Youth, Stephanie's favorite band. Sometimes you got to do something for yourself.
I don't remember if this is the song that I, like, despised. I think I was, like, really, really down this. Because they mentioned it was, like, an original version of the song that they played for the wedding.
The Rufus's wedding. Yeah.
And I remember being like, what the fuck was that? I'll have to listen back, but so, I think I hated it.
Yeah, I believe you. They wanted the show to act as a magazine. So, you know, if you wanted to know a new fashion designer or what the trends are, or, you know, what song should I be listening to? Where should I go? You know, you could read a magazine. You could go online to find out. Or you could just watch Gossip Girl, baby.
Yeah. You're all
what should we do tonight?
Center.
I don't know. Let's watch Gossip. Yeah, now we know what's cool. Blair Waldorf herself did not make an appearance in this. But Blake, the names are too similar. Blake Lively. Not Blair
Got
Lively
it.
Or Blair Waldorf.
Now I'm on board.
Jeez. Blake Lively tells us that yesterday they were tearing down the Humphrey Loft, and that was the first time she thought, wow. Is really coming to end. Matthew Settle is back for only his second confessional, and he said that all the Lincoln Hawk photos are off the wall. Which I'm sad for him he is sad about that. Michelle Trachtenberg wants to know where the couch is from the Humphrey Loft. She's a really big fan of the couch.
Yeah, interesting. Very J.D. Vance of her.
Josh wants the Humphrey jukebox because it'll probably be filled with hits. You know, the cast talks about the stuff they want to steal from the set. Ed Westwick wants the statue that they call Chuck Brass. What a pun.
That's fun. I like that pun.
Sure. Penn Badgley says, I just want to take my memories. Which translation he doesn't give a shit
exactly.
about. 100%. I don't give a shit about taking anything. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to take anything from the set.
I mean, he's really good at hiding the fact that he doesn't give a fuck anymore. Good for him.
He doesn't even remember what was on the set. He's like, I'll take my memories. Stephanie wouldn't mind having one of Blair's necklaces. And then Blake Lively made a file of all the pieces of Serena's wardrobe she really loved. And at the end of the show, she was going to ask for them. But then the file got too long and she was embarrassed.
So she was going to ask for like a shit ton of clothing and just ask for none of it instead.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're led to believe. Yeah. Saying goodbye. Blake Lively loves that she was on a show that was such a success publicly and personally. Both had such a great positive experience. I don't know if I believe Blake Lively. Yeah, I don't think they've all had such a great positive experience. I feel like there was some toxicity on the set.
Yeah, it wasn't all hunky dory.
Stephanie talks about how much of a family everyone is, especially because the cast was so young when they started. Stephanie and Josh are the mom and dad. They're proud of the kids growing up. Kelly Rutherford, your girl, also feels like it's a family, and she'll miss the richness of that. Blake doesn't think they'll miss the early hours, but they will miss having an excuse to hang out and catch up every day. And she claims that it's not just the cast she'll miss. It's the crew. Some of the crew are her very best friends.
Wow.
Do you think if we asked Blake Lively to name three people that were on the crew of Gossip Girl, she'd be able to do that?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I guess you spend a lot of time with all these people. So if she said that they're like her best friends, you'd hope she'd be able to mention some of them.
I think that Blake Lively is lying through her teeth throughout this entire special. I really do. I think Penn Badgley is telling the truth, but like dressing it up a little.
Do you think this is Blake Lively's best acting
Blake
she's
Lively
ever done is in this retrospective?
Blake Lively is flat out lying to us throughout the whole thing.
That very well could be.
We had a little montage of some images of the cast and crew in the show. Leighton's been there from age 20 to 26, a huge portion of her growing up personally and professionally. They're all very excited to see what's next for everyone. Leighton knows the show has changed her life, but it hasn't changed her. It just made her appreciate everything else in her life. Stephanie Savage has taken a lot from the show. She has so many memories. She got to travel to places that she only saw in books, and they had a blast. It seems like Stephanie really loved the show because she got to travel places. She really just got to use it as an excuse to go to Paris.
Right, like how Adam Sandler just chooses a place he wants to go on vacation and shoots a movie there.
Josh Schwartz, we see almost the last thing we see, but he says, from the beginning of time, Gossip Girl time, that is, I think people wanted to know what's going to happen with Chuck and Blair. Serena, will she ever find fulfillment? Relationship with Dan in the beginning of the show was so key. Will that ever come back into play? Some of the old faces on the show, will we ever see them again? Who is Gossip Girl? If you're a loyal viewer, or if you haven't watched the show in a few years, you're not going to want to miss this episode, and you're definitely not going to want to miss the last 10 minutes.
How mad did this make you?
Well, that's a lie. I did want to miss the last episode, and I wish I could erase the last 10 minutes from my memory. Get out of here.
Yeah.
And who's watching this retrospective unsure if they're going to watch the last episode or not? And then Josh Schwartz comes on and says, you're going to want to watch it. They're like, okay, fine.
Right. You're thinking about you might skip the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, let me turn off the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. No, it just made me reminded me of how much I hated just the people everyone ended up with in the end, if anything. I was like, my God. I forgot a lot of stuff. Like, I can't believe Lily ended up with stupid
with Billy Baldwin.
Yeah.
Rufus ended up with Lisa Loeb. We close on, Leighton has asked Stephanie a lot about who Gossip Girl is. So I guess some people did care, Leighton Meester. Stephanie won't give her a hint. We're going to, you know, we get a little thing of these people wanting to know who Gossip Girl is. You know, Stephanie's like, I think it's possible to figure it out if you've watched all the episodes. And I call bullshit because knowledge of the show doesn't matter because they literally decided last minute who Gossip Girl was. And it's like, you should be able to, spoiler, it is Dan. You should be able to rule out Dan in many times. So, you know, this is all bullshit. And Badgley thinks it's Dorota. Kaylee Defer also thinks it's Dorota.
It's also after they had filmed everything. No?
Yes.
Okay.
wouldn't it be? He's like, well, I wonder if it's Dorota. Yeah, okay. Penn Badgley wonders if everyone else thinks it's Dorota. Penn Badgley playing it coy, but, you know, first of all, you have to imagine he knows it's him. He also, I think he's on these message boards being like, it's Dorota, it's Dorota.
Yeah, maybe.
Ed Westwick asks if Gossip Girl even exists or if it's just something in their minds. And that would have somehow been a better, more logical ending to the show. Somehow a figment of the main cast, a collective figment of the main cast imagination. Yeah, yeah. And that's our retrospective. Are you happy we did this?
I'm very happy. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, we're back.
The show's gone, but we're back. I really couldn't believe it was over, though. I was like, oh, that ended very abruptly. Okay, that's it. But we made this episode longer than that was by like double.
And and that's what we normally do.
We're right on target.
Next week, we're going to start the Gossip Girl reboot. Not yet in our guest era, but soon. I do have a guest book for episode 2 of the reboot. So next week, the title, it's not just called Pilot, I guess, because it's a reboot. I don't know if but the title is Just Another Girl on MTA.
Cool.
Brennan. Without knowing any of our characters or anything, no context, do you have a prediction based on the episode title? I think we
general,
still do the reference. I don't know what this is a reference to, but be on the lookout for the reference.
Okay. Yeah. I would say maybe it would be like how the current series of Star Wars movies, like Episode 7, was supposed to be like A New Hope a little bit. Uh-huh. So maybe it'll be like a modern remake of the first episode of Gossip Girl with all our new characters, sort of.
Modern retelling on Schwartz's
Gossip
Girl. Love it. The little blurb says, as the school year begins for New York's elite, a new student at Constance St. Jude's finds herself thrust into the spotlight while a mysterious presence threatens to shake the status quo.
Oh.
Gossip Girl is bad.
Are we giving people that have been on the show, are we restarting the guest count? Or are we still Lonely Boys right now? So it's going to continue on.
No, we're still Lonely Boys. I think we're going to tack on 8 Timers Club, 9
okay.
Timers Club.
Okay.
Yeah. We're still. We got 22 episodes to pad the stats.
All right.
Kind
of one more
season.
Let's
grade this retrospective. You know, I guess, you know, whatever. It didn't make me mad, but there's literally no reason I ever need to watch that again or even needed to watch it for the first time, to be honest.
Yeah.
I actually tend to like retrospectives, like even for shows I didn't watch at all, like all of or didn't care for. Like I started not really enjoying Modern Family a good 6 seasons before it ended, but I loved their little retrospective they did. Like retrospectives tend to make me emotional. And you mentioned I do love shedding a tear. Didn't shed a tear in this.
No.
I love the behind the scenes stuff. I love actors interacting with each other, but this had no emotion. You know, we didn't learn anything new. And like each of the actors is just separate from everyone except for Josh and Stephanie. They don't interact with each other at all. We don't see them embracing. It's not funny at all.
No.
You know, they likened the show to a magazine. It's like, this is literally something that could have been like 1 or 2 pages of a magazine, and it would have had the same effect.
Yeah.
So, It didn't make me mad like the finale, so I'll just give it one. I'll give it a D minus.
Okay.
And Brendan, how about you?
Yeah, you're right. It was emotionless, and I didn't even think about that. That would have been nice. It would have been nice to have almost like a little panel for them to bounce off each other. But that made me seem like they really didn't have a good time making the show together. And they did all lie to us, and they wanted to be done with
probably
it.
They probably all didn't like each other, and they probably didn't want it. Like, they probably just wanted to sit down for like 2 minutes, give like some sound bites that they could use, and then leave.
Right. Yeah. It was pieced together so quickly, so they could just like throw this up there, half-assed, and that's what it felt like. And I, again, also didn't hate it. There was a couple tidbits we said that were interesting to know about, like little factoids that we got out of it. So it wasn't completely useless. I'll throw it like a D.
Okay, a D minus and a D. Yeah. Congratulations to the retrospective. I don't know if there's anyone or anything you could give an MVP to, but I'm giving an MVP to the city of New York. They made New York sound like the most magical place in the world throughout this whole special.
Hell yeah.
It's mentioned a surprising amount of time. So congrats, a non-canonical MVP for New York.
I have the chance. I'll throw one last MVP to Kelly Rutherford. My girl, thanks for showing me that nip on Max.
Flashing here, yeah. That nip on Max. Bro, last night was awesome. She showed me her nip on Max, bro.
And she fucks me in the ascot.
I didn't know who to give an LVP to. Like, maybe Matthew Settle. He gets like two talking heads, and one of them is about how he's sad that his fake forgotten 90s band got their posters taken down of the fake set. So.
Who do I get? He'll give it to Paris. Fuck Paris.
Oh yeah, because they say, you know, fuck Pally.
Fuck Pally.
All right, yeah. LVP to Paris, MVP to New York. No need for Lonely Boys Theater. We don't need to act out.
No, I guess not.
I mean, we already acted out when Kelly Rutherford
said, oh, yeah, the nipple scene.
I want to show. I'm showing you my nipple on Max, Brendan.
But I played me. Drilling. Yeah, that's it.
So, I guess we could just do some plugs. So, Brendan, what are you plugging?
Wow.
Yes, I remembered. I remembered.
Nice. it's been a while. Do you remember what that's from still?
Some video game.
Yeah. Close enough. Yeah, it's from Resident Evil 4.
I was going to say Tony Hawk Underground 2.
Okay.
I've played Tony Hawk Underground 2. I know it's wrong, but okay.
Wrong. You can listen to, by the time this comes out, we should still be working on that 100th episode of ours. Me and Brian of the Hobby Boys have recorded a couple other episodes. But it's like Charles Month all over again. But the problem with the 100th episode is it involves heavy, heavy drinking. And the one night we tried to record it, we were trying to work out the kinks of our tech to make sure we could do these outward phone calls and record everything the right way we wanted to. And it took us like 3 hours to figure out how to do it. So we're like, all right, let's try it again another day. But there was no day that really worked for us to drink 10 beers in like an hour and a half. So we have it lined up for, we're supposed to, and I'll date this, we're supposed to record the 100th episode, Centurium, 100 chapters, 100 minutes. We're supposed to do it on Saturday the 2nd. Hopefully there's no Game 7 that day. And if there is, I told Brian we're going to have to pregame the World Series Game 7 with a Centurium.
That's crazy. That's insane.
So I might be like blind drunk watching Game 7 and not remember it.
That's crazy.
So we'll see how that goes. Either way, it'll be in your ears eventually, and the wait will make you want it so much more. It'll be a lot of your favorites from Lonely Boys on the show.
You're accepting that either Yankees are going to lose this series, or they're going to sweep the next four games and win in six.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. That's how it's going to go. But yeah, so listen now for the news of that podcast eventually coming out. You can also listen to the Blitzball Boys. We are also back in a big way. We have been doing team profile and projections for all eight teams in the warehouse. It's been long enough where we know these teams well enough. We were able to project how each team will do in the big Warehouse Cup final. Blitzball Battle 5 is coming out November 4th. And we will also be talking to one of the warehouse members, Lorenzo DiMaglia, famous We Got Ice team member, was going to break down and preview Blitzball Battle 5 right before it comes out. So We're out in the streets in the Blissful Boys. We've gotten a lot of buzz coming our way. So check that out. If you need some like sports reality TV, go check out Warehouse Games on YouTube. A lot of fun.
Perfect. As for me, just getting back into the podcast, because I don't think of that sort to plug. But we've talked a lot about New York tonight. There's one New York we haven't mentioned, and that's New York Pollard, baby. The iconic reality TV villain who was on season 2 of House of Villains. A new show, it's in the second season, but new to me. A show that I've been, my new favorite reality show that I've been watching. I've been enjoying the second season so much that on Friday, I binged the entire first season. It had been DVR'd on my DVR, it had been recorded on my DVR without my consent, but it was there. So I was like, I kind of want to watch all of it. So I watched all of it. So fun. New York Pollard's on the first season. She comes back for the second season because she's so iconic. It has been a lot of fun. And just as fun has been the podcast coverage of it. Of course, our good friends at the Free Agents podcast, Matt Liguori and Brian Scally, are not only covering The Challenge, which is a fun season so far, but they're also covering House of Villains. So check them out. Check out the coverage. Check out House of Villains. And Brandon, have you watched Hacks yet? Thought I'd forget.
No. I mean, come on. It's been busy. You know. Unbelievable. I have so much time to watch TV as soon as the Centurion's over.
Which we all know is never going to happen. Yeah, I think I'll start watching Hacks during Charles month, probably.
I just meant because the Centurion's going to lead us into Game 7, and then playoffs will be over. So baseball will be over soon, no matter what. So Hacks can come back. You know who recommended Hacks to me also? It was Nicole's mom. She's like, you love this show Hacks. I was like, I've been getting recommended this show by Gagan for months now. And
really? Weekly?
Yeah. I was like, I plan on watching it, I swear. So she's heckling me now about Hacks as well.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
We'll tag team you so that you have to watch Hacks.
Okay.
All right. So I know, you know, we eased our way back into this. It wasn't exciting stuff to talk to, but now you're ready for the reboot. And it's going to be fun. So you can follow me at MattyFresh24 on Twitter. How does this outro? You can follow me on Twitter at Matty. I think I got it now. You can follow me on Twitter at MattyFresh24. You can follow Brendan at Ruppy Puppy. You can follow his other podcast, The Hoppy Boys, at The Hoppy Boys Pod. And you can come back next week where we will be starting the reboot, season 1, woo! Episode 1, Just Another Girl on MTA. Wow. Until then, you know you love us. XOXO, as Bloomberg says. Lonely Boy.
Bye-bye.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion
rights. Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last
year. I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore
it. Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.